1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, which reads, "You husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way." After spending a long time talking about the submission of Christian wives, it's time to talk about the submission of Christian husbands. That's strange, you say. I knew the Bible talked about wives being submissive to their husbands. But I didn't realize, neither did I think at all, that the Bible talked about the submission of husbands. I always thought the Bible talked about the absolute headship of the husband. Since when do husbands have to be submissive? Well, my objective this morning, in the first place, is to show from our text that there is indeed a real submission, a biblical submission of husbands. Secondly, as the text states, we must see that this submission involves the command to husbands, live with your wives. And then, thirdly, we should see that this submission involves the command to husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Having defined this kind of submission, it probably would be a good idea for us to look at a concrete example. And we'll do that. So this morning, basically what we have before us are these points. First of all, there is a biblical submission of husbands. Secondly, this submission consists of two parts. It involves the command, husbands, live with your wives. Secondly, it involves the command, live with your wives in an understanding way. And then we will look at a concrete example of this. First of all, then, our text shows us this morning that there is a biblical submission of husbands. The text says, "You husbands, likewise," and I emphasize the word likewise here, "live with your wives." The King James Version says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with your wives." What Peter is doing in emphasizing likewise, or using the word likewise, is tying what he has to say to earlier verses. In verses 1 through 6 in 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter talks about the submission of wives. In verse 1, he says, "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands." Then in verse 7 of chapter 3, he says, "Likewise, ye husbands, live with your wives." In other words, what Peter has to say to husbands has something to do with the concept of submission. And that is why Peter uses the word likewise, referring to what goes before in verses 1 through 6. The same word, which is translated likewise in verse 7, is used in verse 1. In the same way, in verse 1, Peter says, "You wives, be submissive to your own husbands." The words "in the same way" are the very same word translated likewise. It's one word in the original text. The King James Version in verse 1 reads, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands." And in using the word likewise, Peter is again tying what he has to say to the previous verses. In chapter 2, verses 18 through 25, Peter speaks of submission, the submission of servants to masters. In verse 18, he says, "Servants, be submissive to your own masters with all respect." And then in chapter 3, verse 1, he comes along and he says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands." The connection here is quite obvious. Wives are to be submissive to their husbands in a fashion similar to servants being submissive to masters. But now in verse 7 of chapter 3, Peter comes along and he says, "Likewise, ye husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way." The connection here is not so obvious, at least at first glance. except for us to say that when Peter says, likewise, ye husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, Peter has something to say about the concept of submission. Now, to help us clarify what we're saying here, what we need to do is go back to verse 13 in chapter 2. In verse 13 of chapter 2, if you'd look at it, Peter begins to talk about this whole concept of submission. He says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Peter speaks of submission to human institutions. And what Peter has in mind here are institutions which are fundamental to our social order. What Peter has in mind here are modes of living which are appropriate to human beings living in this world. And Peter has specific human institutions in mind. In verses 13 and 14 again, he says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as one in authority or to governors as sent by him. The first institution Peter has in mind is civil government. And submission is required to civil government. Then in verse 18, Peter says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect. Here Peter has the situation of, or the relationship of servants and masters in mind. And you recall when we talked about this, we talked about this being the very same thing as the employer-employee relationship. And what Peter has in mind here is business and labor, the institution of business and labor. Then in chapter 3, verse 1, Peter says, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands. Peter has in mind here the husband-wife relationship. And he has in mind the institution of marriage. And when we get down then to verse 7 of chapter 3, he says, husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way. Peter still has in mind the institution of marriage, the husband-wife relationship. And he's still talking about these human institutions that he mentions in verse 13 of chapter 2. And you see within the framework of each of these institutions, civil government, business and labor, and marriage, within the framework of each of these institutions, submission is required by the Word of God. And husbands, Peter says, are to be submissive within the context of marriage. Within marriage itself, certain submission is required. As Peter says in verse 13 of chapter 2, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake, to every human institution. Husbands, likewise. And so there is a certain submission required to marriage by husbands. What this means is that there are certain obligations incumbent upon husbands within the institution of marriage. For instance, the marriage vows, in which the husband promises and covenants before God to be a loving and faithful husband. He promises to be a loving and faithful husband in all sorts of circumstances, in sickness and in health, in plenty and in want, in joy and in sorrow. And all of these outward circumstances which may come upon the husband, in these circumstances, the husband says, these will not alter my promise and vow to be a faithful and loving husband. And the vow is made, as we know, quote, for as long as we both shall live, unquote. This vow, you see, reflects the submission of husbands to the marriage institution. Now, this submission of husbands requires that, as Peter says in verse 7, you husbands likewise live with your wives. The words live with, or as the King James Version has it, dwell with, mean cohabitation. And that means live together in solid domestic association. And cohabitation or living together forbids unnecessary separations. Husbands are to live at home with their wives. They are to be at home with their wives. And home is not to be some sort of boarding house for the husband. Cohabitation implies the mutual communication of goods and property. And that means we don't have his and her property. There is communication of property and of person, of self. As one of the commentators puts it, to dwell with a wife is to associate with her as the husband's chosen companion and confidential friend. To live with your wives means, in addition, to be at home with her. Of course, there is daily work which is necessary, and this is expected. But there ought not to be continual work. In other words, the husband ought not to be engaged in continual work so he deprives his wife of his company. There ought to not to be continual travel away from home so that the husband deprives his wife in this fashion of his company. There ought to be time spent at home with the wife. And time ought to be scheduled by the husband so that the husband does spend time at home with his wife. And not only so, you know as well as I do that there are many husbands who spend a lot of time at home, but they spend very few of their leisure hours with their wives and families. There are duties incumbent upon husbands. There are duties which the husband ought to perform in the home, leading in family devotions, leading in the instruction of the home in Christian living, leading in the discipline of children, leading in family recreation. And husbands are often too busy with work to care for these things. I speak from experience, I think, on that one. And very often, husbands are too tired when they come home to be bothered with these things. And thus, these various duties which are neglected by the husband are left to the wives. And a very interesting thing happens, I think, between husband and wife at this point. The wife is left with double duty. She's left with her own domestic duties plus the duties which the husband ought to perform. And when the wife does not fully meet the demands of this double duty, the husband gets upset and says, "Look, you're inefficient." Or on the other hand, he gets upset when she chafes under the load of this double duty and becomes irritable, and he says, "Look, you're not being submissive." And the real problem is the husband's failure to truly live with his wife. To live with your wife means to acknowledge the fact that there are mutual duties and responsibilities within the home. And for the husband to fail to recognize his duty to his wife and to his family, or to be too busy to fulfill these duties, is really to live in sin. And it's a tragedy, I think. But to fulfill these duties as a husband is part of the submissiveness required of husbands in the marriage relationship. Then Peter goes on in verse 7, doesn't he? "You husbands likewise who live with your wives in an understanding way." The submission of husbands in marriage also requires that you live with your wives in an understanding way. The words "in an understanding way" mean literally "according to knowledge." And the King James Version has a better translation here when it says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge." Husbands are to live with their wives on the basis of or as a result of certain knowledge. Now, what kind of knowledge does Peter have in mind here? Well, to help us, I think we need to reflect on creation for a moment. In Genesis 1:27, it says, "And God created man in his own image." God was indeed created, or man was indeed created in God's image. And a part of that image in man was knowledge, true knowledge. We read a little bit ago Colossians chapter 3. If you turn back there, let's look at verses 9 and 10 in Colossians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul speaks about the image of God in man. He says in verse 9, "Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge, according to the image of the one who created him." You see in verse 10 that the image of God in man involves true knowledge. And Christians are being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of God. And when Adam was created in the image of God, part of that image included true knowledge. Adam knew who God was, for instance. He knew that God was his creator, and he knew that God was the one to whom he was responsible. Adam also knew who he was. He knew he was a creature of God, that God made him. But Adam also knew who his wife was. And this is what we want to get at this morning, at least in part. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And we'll look at verses 22 and 23. We see that Adam knew who his wife was. Verse 22, "And the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man, and brought her to the man. And the man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man.'" God brings the woman to Adam. This is what it says in verse 22. "And the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man, and he brought her to the man." Now when Adam sees the woman whom God brought, he recognizes her. Adam had just been in the business of naming all of the animals, and he didn't find a companion for himself. But now God brings to him this woman. And what does he say? "And now this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." He recognizes her as a gift from God. But when Adam sinned, things changed. Adam lost true knowledge. When Adam sinned against God, Adam took up the lie of Satan. He accepted the lie of Satan. And having accepted the lie of Satan and grasped that lie and believed that lie, Adam's knowledge of reality was no longer true knowledge. And this is reflected in the words of Adam concerning his wife in Genesis chapter 3, verse 12. After the fall, what does Adam have to say concerning the woman and concerning God? "And the man said, 'The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate.'" Adam accuses God and he blames the woman. It's interesting, isn't it? Adam no longer sees God as the one to whom he is responsible to. He accuses God. Adam no longer sees the woman as the good gift that God has given him. He blames the woman and he accuses God. He no longer rightly perceives who this woman is. And the effect of sin in man is that he loses true knowledge, true understanding. But as we go back to 1 Peter chapter 3, we see that Peter now says to the husband, live with your wife according to knowledge. And that must mean, first of all, that the husband knows God. You must know Him as the Creator to whom you are responsible. And I must know Him as the Creator to whom I am responsible. And that means that there must be experiential knowledge of God. Experimental knowledge of God. You must be born again and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to really know God. And if you're not born again, it's time that you repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's only when you really know God, it's only when you really know God that you have the hope of living with your wife according to knowledge, as Peter puts it in verse 7 of chapter 3. But then, having a true knowledge of God, a husband may also have a true knowledge of his wife. And this is a wonderful thing. Proverbs 18:22 says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." A husband who really knows God will recognize that these words come from God. And he will at the same time, when he looks at his wife, realize then that this wife, whom he has found, is a good gift from God. That in finding her, he has found favor from God. Such a knowledge of God, such a knowledge of a wife reverses, you see, the effects of sin. It is according to knowledge that a husband is to love his wife and to live with her. And with this kind of knowledge, the husband will not attempt to lord it over his wife and dominate her and domineer her, but rather he will in fact love her. It is the place, you see, of husbands to live with their wives according to knowledge. It is the place of wives to be submissive to their husbands. But it is not the place of husbands to dominate and rule over their wives. Let's go back to Genesis again, chapter 1, verse 28. Genesis 1:28. God gives the man and the woman a commission. And then God said, or verse 28, "And God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" A commission was given to both of them to rule over the creatures of the earth. To both of them. And it was not the place of the husband to rule over the wife and dominate her. In fact, when we look at Genesis 3:16, we find out that this very thing is the result of sin. Genesis 3:16, God speaking to the woman. "To the woman he said, 'I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you shall bring forth children. Yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you.'" Now you see, God is telling Eve here the consequences of sin. And one of the consequences of sin is this domineering rule of husbands over wives. But when the husband dwells with the wife according to knowledge, he recognizes the wife as God's good gift to him. And he does not dominate her, but he loves her. One of the verses that I've emphasized in talking about these things is 1 Corinthians 13:5. And the King James Version, the Revised Standard Version reads this way: "Love does not demand its own way." In other words, a husband who truly loves his wife will not dominate her and lord it over her and continually demand from her his own way. He will rather love her. And such love, you see, reverses the effects of sin. And this is part of living with your wife according to knowledge. And all of this is part of the submission of husbands in marriage. Now let's quickly take a concrete example. which is applicable to our mobile society today. Last time when we talked about Sarah, we mentioned that Sarah moved with Abraham when he was called to move out of Ur of the Chaldees. She moved with him not knowing where she was going. It was her duty under God to be submissive to her husband, Abraham. And this was Sarah's part in being submissive in the institution of marriage. On the other hand, however, it was not Abraham's prerogative to lord it over Sarah and to drag her off to a new home against her will. Abraham was to love Sarah, which meant he could not demand his own way. Abraham was to live with Sarah according to knowledge. He was to see her as God's gift to him. And you see, this was Abraham's part in being submissive within the context of marriage. And it seems to me in this example, the only correct position would be this, that the husband and wife would both together be settled on the fact that their move was the will of God. And then together, they would move. You see, there is a biblical submission of husbands to the institution of marriage. And this is the submission that Peter is talking about when he says, "You husbands likewise live with your wives in an understanding way." It is a submission which demands you and I as husbands to live responsibly with our wives. It demands that you live with her as a Christian, knowing your responsibility to God. It demands of you that you recognize your wife as a gift from God. And those who will someday have a wife, that they may recognize that wife as a gift from God, and so love her. All of this is involved in what Peter has to say, in a kind of submission of husbands in marriage. You husbands likewise live with your wives in an understanding way. Let's pray together. Father, may those of us who are husbands understand the Word of God here. May those of us who might one day be a husband understand the Word of God here. And may we pray that your Word would be effectual in our lives, that we might truly live with our wives in an understanding way. And those, Father, here present who are not husbands, may it be that they would pray for us, that your word would be effectual, that sin would be rooted out of our lives, and that we might live in accordance with this word. Husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way. Bless us all to this end, we do ask, for Jesus' sake. Amen.